Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. Bad motherfucker, right?
Well, hello, everybody. I was going to let that play, but I think I'll save it for the end to play the whole song. But wanted to say hello to everybody. Thanks for joining us. Today is the March 31st. Last day of the month. Turn around, it's almost summertime. So I told Bill, probably listening, I told Bill that I play a little summertime in the SFV while things get rolling here. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah, come on.
Hey, are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I told, I think Bill's listening at the shop. I told him I'd play a little time since today is the end, the last day of March. So I'll be right back. Just sit back and enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
B-A-L-L-E-Y. We say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. B-A-L-L-E-Y. We say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 homie. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley.
Goes out to everybody cruising Lower Canyon, homie, in 1999, 2000. Yeah, this one's for you, straight up.
In the town of 818 of the LA counties, there's a place that we roll in the San Fernando Valley. A little boulevard that's called Lower Canyon, where all the chicken heads go when it's time for landing. Hit the street looking clean, rolling these up on a Cadillac. Bumping too short like a big motherfucking Mac. Take a sip of yak just to get right. Holler at some hoes at the next red light. From Fox Avenue all the way to Brand. Turn around and come back to the three-wheel stand. Watch it jump, hydraulics in the trunk. Turn my bass up and watch a 12-inch bump. Can't fuck with my ride, homie, don't try. I'm fucking with my senses like suicide. Back to them hoes, little lady, what's your name? She rolled away hard in a blue Ford Range. She said, what's your name? I said, I might be the lady of the night. Is what you might be. She said, I heard of you, you a player, right? Don't get mad at me, girl, cause I keep my game tight. She gave up the number with no fuss and fight. I'll be up in that ass later on tonight.
Nothing. It's cold and raining here. Thank God there's
really?
No more snow. Yes. There's no more snow at the moment except for a few snow mounds and random parking lots, but it's cold and rain.
Bad. Yep. You know, I don't wanna hurt your feelings, but it was in the high 70s. Sunny.
Yeah, I know.
Took the coast home.
We got a lot of shit going down in what I categorize as the Riv, aka Fall River, Mass. And as many people know, I've always brought up Fall River. And
hold on,
we
hold
got
on
the
one
Hernandez.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. All right.
Is that you, Nora?
Yes, it is.
Kidoki.
How can you tell?
I thought I heard a baby in the background. What's going on?
Well, no, I have him at night because Megan works like wee hours of the morning at UPS.
Mhm.
So he's my partner in crime during the day and at night. Can't get in a lot of trouble with a two-year-old.
that can't get you in too much trouble now.
I know.
Okay. So go ahead, Stacey. Finish what you're saying. I'm sorry.
All right.
I wanted today. Some love.
What?
I'm going to go on a rant about Fall River, Mass again. As everybody knows, I bring up Fall River quite frequently. It's the city that's adjacent to my hometown. And we got the Hernandez trial taking place, and if anybody is not familiar with that, it's Aaron Hernandez, former New England Patriot player. He's being brought up on some serious stuff. Whether it's true or not, that's up to the court system. But, you know, it's bringing a lot of media, a lot of coverage, a lot of things to the city that is not normal for this city, obviously. And today, Robert Kraft was down at the courthouse because he had to testify. He was subpoenaed in. And what's getting me is all these billionaire-type people who some of them do real good for places, some of them don't. But they're coming to the most trashiest city in Fall River. Within the last 2 weeks, we've had two people under the age of 20 shot and killed just for senseless, stupid bullshit. And, you know, it goes through my mind, they donate money for this, money for that, money for this. And, you know, my key focal point is on Mr. Kraft, who I respect immensely because I love my team. I love New England. Don't get me wrong. You know, I do love it, even though it's being trashed down into a dump heap. But why can't somebody like Robert Kraft, or who's in that money league, help to turn the city around? There's nothing for the kids. There's nothing going on the streets. The other day when the snow melted, submerged outside of the Walmart parking lot was over 300 hypodermic needles. Everybody was taking pictures of it, but nobody in the city was coming to pick up the mess. Now, normally, you know, if you went back 20 years ago, you would think, oh, you know, this must be a container, diabetic syringes, it must have gotten to the wrong place. Now you have to stop and think, where do they come from? And these are becoming the normal sites of this city. There's no more work except for part-time fast food industry. There's no more industry because all the mills are now condos that people can't afford. They've tried to bring in casinos to this area because we've got some reservation land, and everybody shoots them down with one thing. It's going to make the city worse. And I say the city can't get no worse than what it is. Now, it's pretty sad when I could travel 2 minutes up Route 81, okay, and go into Fall River, Mass., and do all my shopping. I could do grocery shopping, clothes shopping, go pay a bill, whatever. And I choose to go 20 minutes down the road by highway to a little bit better of a town to do those normal things. Now, Fall River's been my stomping ground since I was 13 years old. I've never been afraid of the streets. I've walked the streets at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning with friends when you're young and stupid. I've done some crazy shit, but I'll tell you what. At 46 years old, and I don't put up with no shit, it's either, you know, do as I say as I do, or be on your way. I'm set in my ways. But, for, you know, this past year, the city's got me leery. There's people hanging in places they don't belong. There's things going on that shouldn't be happening. Chatter on the street is at an all-time high, and the only thing that people want to do is drugs. And don't get me wrong, I ain't going to discriminate against anybody that wants to party. That's your money, that's your vice, that's your thing. But when we got 300 hypodermic needles laying in a Walmart parking lot, there's a problem. And it's a big, big problem. Now, Fall River people got on their high horse and got the mayor out of office. You know, the people took up the route of the law, whatever, punted the mayor right out of office because the mayor did some shady shit. Now, they put in the former DA as acting mayor, and his nickname is called the Son of Sam because he, as when he was DA, had the most dangerous hearings the state of Massachusetts pretty much ever seen. How many of them people were actually that dangerous remains to be seen, because all he wanted was the media spotlight. He hasn't done a damn thing with all the people he knows, being he was in the DA's office and all that hoopla with the city. Now, what started the outs of the old mayor was because Fall River people have to pay for trash bags. Now, I've been paying for trash bags for a couple of years. And these people were given these beautiful barrels that they just weren't using. They just weren't recycling. They just weren't using common sense. So now they pay for trash bags. And they all got insulted, voted the mayor out of office, of course, with a couple of different other things he did that was kind of shady, but that's besides the point, for the acting mayor that is to charge the trash bags even more money. So now people are paying more than what they were bitching about. I could give a shit about trash. I give a shit about, again, 300 hypodermic needles in a Walmart parking lot. To me, that's a major problem. They have a thing going on that I was invited to, a park that's right up the road, clean up the park day. Now, that's something I used to do with my kids all the time. And I said to people that were sponsoring it, I said, are you handing out steel gloves? And I think I kind of made a shock. I said, because I'll be damned if I'm sticking my hands on any trash that I don't know what's underneath, because the children's playgrounds are flooded with hypodermic needles. And there ain't nobody in the city works that's going around picking up needles. That's biohazard. You need a special team to do that. So as heroin bags and needles are everywhere in the city, it's a common sight now, and you have to teach your children at the age of 8 years old, don't go next to that. I want to know what the people, since they were so smart about voting out the mayor that was due to trash bags, are going to do about the rise of opiates in Fall River. Now, we're number three. Fall River's number three in the whole state. Now, mind you, you can drive around Massachusetts in a day, the whole state. Fall River's number three at the most use of opiates. And the big problem I have is that most of the city is either on welfare, housing, Social Security, or some form of assistance. Now, that doesn't make you a bad person, okay? It doesn't. But what gets me is that you're on a fixed income, you got your bills to pay, but yet you've got money to go out and drown yourself in all those opiates. I'm not understanding. If you've got all that spare time, then you could be doing something positive for your city that's giving you so much money in return, tax dollar-wise. And nobody is doing nothing. And I feel like I've beaten to death a dead horse, because I have talked and talked and talked. And in the process, I've lost a couple of friends to the shit in the past 3 years. And I have about had it, honest to God. You know, when you walk around a city and half the people look like they've got a pot in The Walking Dead, there's a problem. Now, I don't know what it's like out in Chicago, Nora. I don't know what it's like out there in San Diego, Phil. But I know over here, there's a big problem taking place. People are losing their homes, begging on the side of the road to make $50 to $100 a day in change to go get a couple of grams of heroin and then throw their shit wherever they see fit.
Yeah.
I've got a big problem with that. It's pretty sad when you can't take your kids to the park. You can't walk down the street without running into some type of friggin' biohazard on the sidewalk, because that's exactly what it is. You don't know where those needles come from. And I've got a big problem with, you know, back when HIV came into play and everything, the pharmacies decided, well, we're not going to share needles. But if you're a, you know, hypodermic needle user, et cetera, you can come to the pharmacy and buy a needle at a buck a whack. I think that needs to be stopped. I think Suboxone needs to be stopped. I think the injections need to be stopped. You need 30 days hardcore rehab, and that's it. Why do people who pay taxes have to pay for 90% of the people strung out for their rehab and for their medications to stay off the shit? And see, 25 years ago, I would have said, you know, people need help. There's not enough awareness about this. But everywhere you turn, there is awareness on opiate use and heroin. And the bottom line to it is this. Once you do that heroin, there's no coming back. Because most people who do it once, that's all it takes. And there's so much awareness, and there's so much education, and it's talked about in the schools, and it's talked about at meetings, it's talked about on the radio, it's talked to the point where it's talked and talked, and that's all it is. Nobody's listening anymore because nobody's getting anything done. And it's about to get a whole shitload worse, because when that heat rolls into the city, people get crazy. Honest to God, just straight up stupid. And
be careful, because they, you know what they got the Marines doing, don't you?
Well, that could be just about anything.
They're training in cities across the United States as we speak on crowd control.
It's going to be needed. Honest to God, it's going to be needed. I mean, the other day I was at my niece's house when a 20-year-old was shot, and it was over a girl. Over a girl. I'm like, are you kidding me? And they went down this neighborhood, I guess. It's over by one of the bigger hospitals. There's a lot of people coming and going. And for 24 hours later, the pigs were picking up all the shell casings. So not only was it intended for one person, but anybody that was in a 500-foot radius. You know, and that hospital there has the children's ward, because the other hospital delivers babies. One hospital has the children's wing. And that's all I thought about. I'm like, there are sick children right maybe 200 feet away in that hospital, you know, trying to get better, and we've got idiots just having a free-for-all. It's one thing to protect yourself. It's one thing to have a gun and know its uses. But it's another thing to be a bunch of teenagers just ripping up the neighborhood over a breakup. I have a problem with that.
It always happens.
Yeah, but the problem is, Phil, you live in California, and that has a lot of big cities.
That doesn't
this
happen.
Is math-
I've witnessed it with my own kids.
The only thing I'm saying is that Massachusetts is a small state, and we've never, ever seen the rise of violence and drug use as it's been, I'd say, in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, how's the job situation over there?
It's terrible. That's what I said about all these big league people coming for this high-profile court case, and they're driving by all this. And you would think one of them would say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get some type of program in the works, or I'm going to set up a center for kids who live in the inner city to be able to go and get help with their homework, or, you know, educate or whatever. You look in the parks and you see 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds unattended, without parents. Where are their parents? Strung out somewhere. They're in the parks from the time the school gets out till the sun sets. Who's making them supper? Who's taking care of them? So we've got a strung out adult society who are leaving our kids out on the streets, who are getting into all kinds of mischief, who harbor rage because their parents are doped up. So now we're setting the path for the next society to come up that's going to be even worse. And somebody's got to get a handle on this. You know, it's like I tell everybody, if you're sick and you need those types of medication, well, by golly, that's what they were made for. But if you're sick and you're not sick and you're going from doctor to doctor, and over here, because the state line is just a hop, skip, and a jump, it's let's go doctor shopping in Rhode Island. Let's go in Massachusetts. Let's travel 2 hours north to New Hampshire or an hour and a half to Vermont. If we're really desperate, we'll go 4 hours to Maine. And that's what's happening. And it's like, I know when you get these things at the pharmacy, you got to give your license, your address, all this hoop de la. And you're registered in the system, and they're not seeing these people doctor shopping. Those are the people that need... they need a wake-up call. They need to see that life is more than just a fuzzy whatever you want to call it, because I don't understand it. You know, it's like when I grew up, everybody was smoking pot. That was the thing to do. There was nobody talking about all this crazy shit they got now. And I know times change, but you know what? There's one thing. Pain medication has been around for how long? And since the beginning of time, people have become addicted to it. Now, some people, you get addicted to it because you're sick, and that's just part of a cause. When you're sick with a terrible disease or something that inflicts a lot of bone pain or whatever, well, by golly, you know, you take your pain medication, live pain-free. But when you're not sick and you're just doing it to get high, and you're taking out of the man's pocket that is sick, that needs that, that's wrong. That's wrong. And that's the way I view it. And I just am very sad for the children that have to grow up in that city right now. I really am, because my childhood was great in that city. With the parks, with being able to walk on the sidewalk, with riding my big wheel around at my grandmother's house. It just isn't happening anymore. And everybody's got the, I don't give a shit, I see nothing, I don't care, it's happening over there, it ain't fucking in my square, blah, 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 blah. Well, if people don't get involved to stop this drug frenzy that's going on, nobody's ever going to get better. Nobody's ever going to be non-dependent, you know. And I'm not saying be a whistleblower. I'm saying extend your hand to your friend that's out of control and say, dude, what are you doing to your life? Look at how you're affecting your children. You know, is the life you're leading right now, is this what you want for your little guy or little girl when they become your age? Extend your hand to your neighbor and help them. You don't have to be a dime dropper. You don't have to talk to the pig on the corner. You don't have to do none of that. It's get back to being, you know, we've had this talk on the radio before. Extending your hand to your neighbor when they're sick. Helping them when they're struggling to take out their trash barrel. Bringing them a bowl of soup if you know that they've got the flu. Where has all that gone? It's gone. Not my problem. I don't give a shit. They're sick. Keep that crap over there. Blah, 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 blah. What a sad, sad, sad life the city is becoming.
Yeah.
And it's not going to change. It's not going to change. It gets worse and worse every day. And I just, you know, it's pretty bad when you don't, you know, me personally, I will not bring my child to any park in Fall River. I will not bring them to anything going on in Fall River because I'm too afraid of what the stupids are going to do. And A, I don't want my kids seeing anything, and B, I don't want my kids seeing anything stupid that, who knows, you know, could affect me. I don't want my child having those type of memories. You know, and it's sad. It's totally, totally sad. And I don't get it. I don't. Because when I was growing up, my parents, and in the neighborhood that I grew up in, everybody looked out for everybody. And now, in their neighborhood, there's only like three original people that were here when the neighborhood was founded. None of the new neighbors talk to anybody. You know, they give you that look like, if you say something, I'm going to rip your face off. And nobody does for anybody. It's like I could fall down in the street and break my leg and be there for 2 hours and nobody's going to help me. Not a soul. And it's just pathetic. It really is. And I mean, you see the strong ties in the brotherhood, in the sisterhood. People will go out of their way to help people, but that's just one group. How about, you know, somebody from the brotherhood or somebody from the sisterhood helping the common folk, or vice versa? You know, extending that olive branch, like, hey, man, you need some help. Yeah, let me sit down and tell you a story. Or let me give you some links or some phone numbers of people that can help you. There's nothing wrong with that. People are just afraid of people in general. It's not even so much a stereotype of you can't hang there because these people hang there. You can't go there because this crowd goes there. You can't be seen here because this is predominantly this area. How about letting all that go and helping a person out in need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a human being, isn't that what, you know, having self-worth, self-dignity? At night you can go to sleep, you know, patting yourself on the back, and even if it didn't mean anything at all to the person you helped, you know in your good conscience that you did everything you could to help them. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's the problem. Nobody wants to help anybody. And I just think it's such bullshit. I really, really do. And it's got to change, because if it doesn't change, it's going to get worse. It really is. And what clarity I get is my grandmother, God rest her soul, when I was a little kid, she would say to me, "Oh, the city's changing. It's not so safe anymore." And we'd be, "Oh, Meme, it's okay. It's not that bad." And it wasn't back then. But in her eyes, she was already seeing small little changes because she had been around for 50 years. And all I say now is my grandparents helped founded that city. They worked in the mills that first opened. They went to work at 14 years old. They were working before the 40-hour work week, before Social Security, before it was illegal to put a child to work in a mill. My grandparents' blood, sweat, tears, and calloused hands went into making that city what it was for the last 20 years, for it to be sent to hell and back due to greed. The mills, they all went overseas. Why? Because they could pay foreigners, you know, $1.50 versus somebody $20 and union and benefits and everything else. No, it's cheaper just to pay people abroad. Shame on them. Shame on them, because they could be making the same amount of money. The city could be prospering. Drug use would be at a low. Work would be at a high. When I was 16 years old, you could find 3 jobs in a course of 8 hours. 3 people that were willing to hire you. Now it takes 3 weeks to get an interview. Shame on the people who did that.
Yeah.
And, you know, my biggest concern, too, is, you know, it goes back to the millions of things we talked about, the military. We've got people returning home who just fought for this country, who need help. Nobody's going to help, because you can't even say hi to your neighbor.
Hey,
nobody's going to help.
They're doing a thing about revising the benefits and talking about doing a 401k plan and all kinds of shit. And I saw this young sailor today, and I was down in, I was in the auxiliary engine room working, and she asked if anybody had a knife, so I handed her mine. And then she came back, and I said, you know, I noticed you guys were kind of like arguing over there about this and that and what you guys were doing. She said, "Because he doesn't know what he's doing." And I said, "Okay, he's like 5 ranks above you. And if you're fresh out of school, yeah, you might know something more than he does. But you guys went about it the wrong way, because it turned into a heated argument. And everybody stopped and was listening and shit." And I told her, I said, "If you got the chance to go to school and learn stuff, take advantage of it now, because pretty soon you ain't going to have nothing."
That's the truth. That's the truth. And
they're revising all the physical fitness tests. They're you got to go get weighed. You got to watch your body fat, all kinds of stuff. And then as well as education. And she said, "Well, they want me to commit myself to the ship, you know, being on the ship and all that." And I said, "Well, then you guys got, I know you guys can go online and take the courses. Do it for yourself. Don't do it for them. Do it for yourself."
Yeah, you have to do it.
And she could be more than 22 years old. She didn't get it.
No, you have to do for yourself in order to have good moral standings, in order to make the person that you are, to feel good about yourself. You have to. You have to. But you also have to have a society that's willing to help, you know? And I worry about that, because, you know, our vets have done above and beyond since 9/11, you know, and it's been nonstop. And the regular folks of the city can't find work, can't find housing, can't find anything. And these vets that are coming back from giving everything they had at 110%, what can we give them? They put their life on the line, and there's nothing left. I can honestly speak about Fall River. I don't know anywhere else, but I can honestly say there's nothing left in Fall River to offer anybody. And it breaks my heart. It does. It really does, because I come from a very hardworking family, and I've said that before on this show. And just
well, you know,
to
if
see,
we can afford to arm the Syrian rebels, but we can't afford to take care of our vets, it's officially time to start questioning the motives of our representatives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. You know, because I feel that the vets need to be made the first priority. First priority. But you know what? I also feel that the people should be working and booming this economy so we can help the people who are coming back, who put their life on the line, for all of us to be able to do what I'm doing now, talk freely, standing outside on my back deck, you know, to be able to do what you're doing, this radio show, to be able to do what Nora's doing, watching her grandson grow up. You know, and that, I've got concerns. I really do. And it's like I said, the vets should be first and foremost top priority for housing, for benefits, for medical, for, you know, if they need some mental help because of PTSD. And we can't even help the people that have been here for 50 years. And I just, that is so wrong. And like I said, I can't speak on behalf of Chicago. I can't speak on behalf of California, but I damn sure can speak on behalf of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And both places have nothing. Nothing. If you're rich, you live in Rhode Island because you hold some high executive position somewhere. If you're poor, you're in Massachusetts. And that's pretty much the way it goes. But even you know, Robert Kraft, a children's community center, a vet center, something, because his name, and you know, we shouldn't hold bearing on anybody's name, but Robert Kraft's name in this area is respected. It is, because where he built Gillette, he brought business, he brought people, he brought money. He tried to get a casino in this area. He teamed up with Donald Trump. People shot it down. It's work. It's work.
Well,
and I'm not understanding.
They think they're lining their pockets. That's why. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't.
And I mean,
you know,
look at the...
It's like all the charity organizations. The government says they only have to give up to 10% of the money they collect to charity. And you know how we find out...
Yep.
...about these guys. These guys came to me and Bill the other day about, it's called the Semper Fi Fund. It takes care of Marines and sailors. And Bill asked me, he said, are these guys legit? And I walked over and I pulled it up and I said, what do you think? Said, okay, we'll help these guys.
Well, who's the group that basically is throwing the wool over everybody's eyes? Is it that Wounded Warrior Project or is it something else? Who's... All right, because Walmart now has a sign posted in their parking lot that says reserved parking for Wounded Warrior, blah, blah, blah. And it's got the little, I don't know, there's a little logo that's attached to it. And I happened to see it briefly, but I didn't know. I'm like, are these the people that are giving like a half a cent to our military and lining their pockets with the rest? And now they're in cahoots with Walmart, who's just... You know, if you really look at Walmart's prices, they're kind of almost up there now because they've monopolized the industry and they're just going to continue to rise. You ain't getting no savings at Walmart by letting all the other businesses go under. You know, so it really struck me as, is Walmart getting a piece of the pie in that sign? It makes the public think that, hey, you know, so I really think that that's something maybe Phil... You could look into and find out exactly what it is and let me know. Because if it's the crap, I'm going to spread it. I'm going to spread it like friggin' wildfire in this area, you know, because if it's a legitimate organization, then every Wounded Warrior should have a parking spot, not a handicap plate. You're a vet. Well, by golly, you belong in that first spot. But if it's just for to spread the name because we're making money off this, then those signs need to be taken down. Honestly. That's the, yeah. You know, be legit in what you do and not use it as a publicity stunt for advertisement to line your pockets with more things. Because unfortunately, 90% of society goes to Walmart. I have no idea why. This stuff is crap. So that's the way I feel on that. So, you know, yeah. People need to look into that and really find out what exactly is going on with that sign. Because like I said, if it's legit, then it belongs there. It really does. Because, you know, I think the vets have a special place, just like our handicapped people. They're entitled to be in them first parking spots. But if it's just a bunch of shenanigans to line another foundation's pocket full of money and they're giving a half a cent on the dollar, no, that needs to be stopped.
Yeah. Well, the guy that runs it's a lawyer. He paid himself $3.1 million last year.
Jesus Christ. You know what $3.1 million could have done for any vets? It could have built
they
homes.
They collected $159 million and only gave out about... What does that tell you?
That's sick. That's sick. That
805.
That's
sick. Hold on, though. 805, did you want to talk or you just want to listen? Hello, 805. Did you want to talk or just listen?
Hey, Bill. No, I'm listening in. I really don't have anything to share with this. It's fascinating. The one thing I do want to say is I'm driving home, and I see this huge American flag flying. And the thing that comes to me is I remember when that used to mean something. You know, I remember when that, you know, and I'm listening to this lady with her impassionate words and what she's talking about and us doing something. And I remember being a child, pledging my allegiance to that flag. And it's just funny that she was talking about the wounded warriors and our veterans, but they're not getting their fair share of the pie. And even some, senators thought it would be fair to cut their benefits recently. I just, I saw that flag, and I remember when that used to mean something, when I used to see that flag, you know, and I bled for the flag myself. I'm a veteran, and it just...
Thank you for your service.
No, my pleasure. You know, it lost something. It lost meaning, you know. It just, you know, people don't pledge allegiance to our flag anymore, and it's just sad. And I'm listening to you speak and talking about all these different things that are going on. And, you know, it's inspiring me to want to do something. And now I want to find out the what the true intent are of all these different organizations, like that organization BAD, where, you know, it's supposed to be bikers against drunk drivers, but you find out that it was just a funnel for revenue for the top 3% of that company that just keeping all the money for themselves, buying themselves homes and boats and yachts. And
that guy bought a $2.1 million house with the money he collected last year. Then he paid $500,000, and all she does is pick up the phone and take messages from time to time.
You know, I could throw a rock and I could hit, you know, a wounded veteran, recently wounded, that could use $200,000 to revamp his home so it's handicap accessible. But yet this guy needs a new boat. You know, he could help 100 veterans with that money. You know, I just, again, like I said, what it's inspired me to do is to think what I can do as a veteran to really see the validity of these organizations and really find out and expose them for what they're not.
Joe.
Well, it's like hold on,
Stacy. Joe, do you know that there's 11,392 veterans living on the street in L.A.?
I do. I'm aware of that. I contribute to the Midnight Mission specifically for that purpose. Yeah, I do. It's hard. It's disheartening. You know, I'm sitting here, and like I said, you know, as a veteran, you know, I have a great career and I've made something of myself, but for every one of me, there are thousands that all they need is just a little help, just a little encouragement, some education, some help financially, just to get them on their feet. Trust me, these guys have the volunteer spirit. They've already demonstrated once by volunteering for the ultimate sacrifice. They're going to volunteer again if we just give them a little bit of help. And every time I hear of government cutting back benefits, of these organizations not truly being what they are, and my stomach just gets in a knot, and I just get so enraged, and I just think, I'm just one person, what can I do? Well, you'd be amazed what one person can do.
Absolutely. You're doing it now.
Well, you know what came to thought? When you said the man made $159 billion, a million, whatever that total was, I think of the state of Rhode Island, and it's the size of a mole compared to the rest of the states in this great country. And I think of all the houses and maybe a VA hospital, et cetera, that could be built in that small little vicinity with all that money. And you get all these big guys that have all this money to do that in every state, and we won't have any more homeless vets. And I don't get it. I don't get it. How do you cash in on somebody else's misfortune who put their life right out on the front line, that was willing to die for your freedoms? That's wrong. People need to be thankful to these people. And they're not. They're cashing in on them. And it's just totally, it totally blows my mind.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the articles, Joe, you can find out about the Wounded Warrior Project blog. There's all you got to do is type it up in the search box, Wounded Warriors, and everything will come up. You won't have to, you can do all your research right there. And it's all verified. But it's just like, you know, you guys, you probably, Joe, you know I'm talking about, the Susan G. Komen, the cancer walk down here. You know how they have them all over?
That burns San Diego, me.
San Diego last year, they raised $11 million. Do you know how much the Cancer Society got? Take a guess.
Oh, God.
Next to nothing.
$1.1
million. Let me tell you something. Boston is the home of Dana-Farber. That's one of the best cancer hospitals in the country. And they push that Susan Komen shit all over the place here. Two of my best friends, one before the age of 35, the other one was 40-something. She'd kill me if I said her age. But they both battled breast cancer, and they're both survivors. And every other week in their mail, it's all about Susie and her pink ribbons. And it makes the two of them utterly disgusted, because I sat them down. Because when they first got their breast cancer and they went into remission, they were all about helping this organization. And I said, whoa. I said, you need to sit down and read a few things. And when I showed them the reality of what goes to the cancer to find a cure and what goes to the pockets of the people that fund it, oh, yeah. They were very much against it, because, again, these are rich people cashing in on people who are terminally ill, chronically sick, are in the battle for their life, and they could give a shit. Because that, you know, whatever money they make on whatever 5K race is going on, that's their vacation to Europe next year. And it burns me. It does, because we're not finding cures for things that we should already have cures for, because the money's not going where it needs to be. And, you know, the government, so you can't buy this, you can't buy that, you can't tax this, you have to tax that. Why can't they stop these people? Because why? The government's lining their pockets too. And it's a big vicious circle. And it's like, you know, people can start at the bottom and help and volunteer and promote awareness, but it's got to get people to push to the point to get these motherfuckers out of office and change the goddamn system. And that's the problem. Because if you don't change the system, you're still going to be a dog chasing its tail. And nobody wants to do that.
Of course not. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
661, did you have a comment or did you want to say something?
Well, I don't really know what this is. I just kind of picked up the payphone and this was on.
Yeah, hello.
What was that?
Oh, I don't know. He said something about somebody picked up a payphone.
That's what I thought he said. I'm like, a payphone? I haven't seen one of those in years. Oh, that's a poor soul.
Oh, well, you know, every once in a while we get the nuts.
Yeah, we do.
But, yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean...
Well, you know, right, Phil, here's another scenario. People that know me know my mom became a paraplegic just about 3.5 years ago. Why did it take 1.5 years for my mom to get an electric wheelchair? Why? Why did that electric wheelchair cost almost $25,000? Why?
Ouch.
This is a person who is bound to her bed.
It is. I don't know if you guys remember when Bill and I were doing the old wheelchairs, picking up old wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were going to the VA centers and stuff and giving them out because those guys were waiting for a wheelchair for a year. Fucking year, Joe. You believe that shit?
I do believe it. I do.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. The other day, I'm walking down a street in Fall River, and there's all little storefronts, and of course, there's a couple of little pawn shops along the way. What do you think was in their window? An electric wheelchair. I was like flabbergasted. If I ever wanted to hit something, it was right then and there. I'm like, this wheelchair, somebody pawned to get money, and now the pawn shop's trying to sell it. And I'm thinking to myself, if the person happened to pass away or whatever, you would think that the family would understand the values of an electric wheelchair and how hard it is to get, et cetera, and give it to somebody that needs it. You put it in a pawn shop? Is that what society has come down to? I couldn't believe it, Phil. I could not believe it. When my mom waited 1.5 years to be able to get a chair that she could travel to the front yard and come back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hold on,
it just...
Hold on 1 second. Hello, 661. Did you want to talk or you want to listen?
This lady sounds...
Is that the payphone bandit, Phil?
Yeah, he hung up again.
I don't know what he's doing, man, but that's...
yeah.
I have no words.
Nah,
but, you know...
It's one of those... It's going to be one of those nights.
Yeah,
hold on,
I guess.
Here's an old favorite. Hold on 1 second. Hello, 508. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
This is
Eunice.
This is a woman out of the past. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
It's
how you doing?
Good.
How are you?
How you doing, Phil? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Phil, hello.
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Trying to be a good girl.
Okay, good.
You know. Yeah.
We're talking about, well, Stacy, tell her what we're talking about.
We're talking about phony warrior projects. We're talking about the heroin rise in Fall River, Mass. We're talking about people who belong getting wheelchairs that don't get them. And typical bureaucratic bullshit where the big guys are lining their pockets and us poor schmucks are at the bottom of the table, you know, licking the crumbs.
But haven't we been doing that for a long time, Stacy?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, I mean, we had 2 shootings in the past 2 weeks in Fall River that took people under the age of 20 years old, all for boyfriend and girlfriend bullshit, by a local hospital that has the children's ward, like maybe 200 feet away, you know, and I just, shit's out of control, and it's getting out of control at a fast, fast rate. And if people don't take control and vote people out of their positions in office and promote change, we're all going to be in the sewer pretty damn quick.
I know, but how long? How far are the elections away?
In Fall River?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, do you follow what goes on in Fall River? I mean, you know they voted Flanagan out, and they put in the former DA, who has done absolutely nothing, and word on the street is he's not even planning on rerunning for mayor. His option is to get his political standing point, and then he wants to go on to bigger and better things. So this little year he has, you know, pretending to be the mayor, he ain't going to do much of nothing. It's just to get his name promoted as Fall River is slipping into the cesspool.
Well, then people are going to have to start rallying around. The newspapers are going to have to start asking, you know, people to make statements
The problem is that the only thing people are focused on is the Hernandez trial. And I just said that. I mean, today Robert Kraft was in Fall River, Mass. And I said, you would think with all these high society folks coming into the city that have billions and billions of dollars, all these big news teams, CNN, ESPN, the NFL channel, you name it, from A to Z, lining the street of downtown Fall River, that someone would look around and say, oh, my God, what can we do to help this city? When the snow melted about a week ago, 300 hypodermic needles were exposed in Walmart parking lot. Who came to pick that up? As far as I know, nobody. That's biohazard. You're not going to send a city worker in to get it. The people who live there are not going to take care of it. And the Walmart employees, I know if I was one, I sure as hell wasn't going outside to sweep up 300 needles.
That's right.
You know, but that's what the city's becoming. And nobody, it's like I was saying, you know, people have vices, their addictions, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like I said, you don't need to go drop a dime on somebody. You need to extend your hand to your neighbor and say, are you okay? You know, can I help you with something? Can I tell you a story? You know, can I do something to maybe re-help your train of thought where it's at? Nobody cares what anybody's doing. And it's like I said, I could be on the ground outside with a broken leg for 2 hours. Ain't nobody going to stop and come help me. And it burns in me, and I said this a few minutes ago, because my grandparents were part of the people that founded Fall River. They were working in the mills before the 40-hour work week, before you had to be a legal age to work, before Social Security, and they made this city prosper and thrive. And if they were alive, I would be sad for them to see, you know, the city that they were so proud of being in disarray the way it is. And it just burns me, because we got a very poor population, and you would think that they would want better for themselves, to rise above the vices, the demons, the unemployment, to take charge of their city, to find out who's doing what, to get the economy back going, something. Nobody wants to do anything. It's Fall River's a loss, like Rochester's a loss, like Worcester's a loss. Nobody cares. This is just another city that's gone to the dump heap. And we're a small population. I can't even imagine. Like, when I think of California on a large scale, well, that's like 3/4 of the East Coast, you know, people-wise.
There's and 33 million people here. The other day,
that's what
said,
I'm saying. If you guys are having the same problems we're having over here with shit just running amok, it's going to get real bad, because eventually it's going to meet in the middle in Chicago somewhere, you know? And I don't understand it. For a country that you have so many freedoms, for a country that's so beautiful when you go see the national forests and the parks and Yosemite. You go to Sturgis and you see Mount Rushmore. You go to Arizona and you see the Grand Canyon. You go to San Diego where some of us want to live and, you know, have a good time. But I don't understand how a country so beautiful and can be so prospering, people are just letting it go. And I have just a tough time with that concept, because I was raised with a working class family. I was raised to help your neighbor. I was raised to do for another who doesn't have. And all of those morals and values, they don't exist right now.
Yeah. Nope.
Well, people have been beaten down. And people as yourself, who speaks out, you know, I'm talking on the phone, hon, eventually gets beaten down and beaten down. That's the sad part, you know. And if you don't all become strong, then, you know, you get a couple of people to act out and get a couple of more, you don't get strong. Hold on 1 second.
Well, the guy who called in that said when he was driving down the highway and he was looking at the American flag and he remembered when the Pledge of Allegiance meant something. Well, I do too. I remember that was the first thing done in school every single day. I remember it was an honor if you were picked to go put that flag on the pole that day with the principal or to take it down and put it away the way it was supposed to be put. Hang it up the way it was supposed to be put. If it was raining, you got it out of the rain. If the weather was bad, you got it out of the bad weather. If it was a beautiful day, you made sure it was flying in full, you know, pursuit.
They don't teach that in school anymore. There's nothing. When they took the 3 R's away, they took a lot away. You know, they really took a lot away in teaching our children. Do you know down here in Florida that they're teaching their children in the classroom that the South won the war?
I think that's just going to be a fight for the rest of...
I know it, but I'm just saying this, you know, they're not being taught the right things in school anymore. They sit there and they text. They do all their work by texting. You know, these kids don't know how to pick their head up from the phone.
No, and what gets me is if you don't stop in kindergarten, when I first started doing the Pledge of Allegiance, if you don't teach your child respect of this, the flag, that's respect of your country, that you are blessed to be here in this wonderful country. You're not teaching it. You have to teach it at a young age. You take away the Pledge of Allegiance and you take away everything that's evolved around the flag, nobody's going to know the meaning of it. Right. So
let me bring Phil into this. Phil, how many children from 20... 25 know about the Vietnam War?
Oof.
What have they been taught about the Vietnam War?
I don't even think they teach it anymore.
That's right. And what have they been taught about World War II?
Nothing.
Children.
Testing. Those stupid computerized testing that gets the schools more money. Everything's got to be by a computerized standard. Heaven forbid that you should sit down in a class and maybe be taught by someone who was raised during one of them eras that can tell you actual factual stuff.
Where are you going to get them? Where are you going to get them?
Phone? Anybody that gets a new phone. You find a 7 or 8 year old kid, he'll show you how to use that phone.
That's right. That is right.
My granddaughter is living proof of that. My granddaughter, the other day, called me. Now, my granddaughter's 2 years old, and she managed to get the phone from my daughter, saw my picture next to my phone number. I pick up the phone, thinking it's my daughter. I'm like, hello, and I hear, hello, Meme, it's Isabella. And I'm like, what? But yes. And she was raised in this generation where everything's a picture. We take pictures of everything. But my granddaughter's a prime example, 2 years old, and she knows how to operate a damn cell phone. You're absolutely right.
So I was tell us where we are going to find a way to correct it. You can never go back. People don't understand that. I'm in my 70s. And we go out to eat, and we went to places that we went to 20 years ago. And I say, look, this isn't something that 20 years ago we were interested in. You know?
Well, you know why?
Sitting at the bar? Huh?
You know why?
Why?
I'll tell you. This guy right here is going to tell you who really controls America. I want you to listen very closely.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. Politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dip that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
That's almost 20 years old, and it's still ringing today.
Yeah, and I'll tell you. You have to be a little bit smarter than them. See, you make them think that you're very stupid and dumb. All right? And I'm talking about politicians. As I told you, we had a particular person on that Judiciary Committee for 13 years. So, a dream come to me. And guess what? We got rid of him. only because we showed him a better picture and a better life. And guess what happens? After we get rid of him, they pass a bill. And I sat there and laughed. And I had lunch. I had lunch before I come down here because I haven't talked to you guys. And I sat with the two big shots. One big shot met me first. And then the second one come in and his face dropped down to his ass. And I says, do you like your job? And he says, I do. And I looked at the other person and I says, and who recommended him? So see, one little shithole did something in order to get something passed. But it takes a lot of shitholes to get together and work for something. You know, and it can build up slowly and creepily, you know. And that's what you have to do if you want something bad enough. And it's never going to go back to the way it was before. It's never going to do that. You're going to get a few children that are going to have brains enough to want to change the system, you know, and you're going to have other ones that are going to sleep with their head in their arms and just expect to give and to be given and to be given, because that's what parents do to children nowadays. They keep giving and giving and giving instead of sitting around the supper table with them. I have two granddaughters that don't even know how they beat the system, because they were taught to beat the system. Did that come from my family? That's not the way I brought my children up. I brought my children up to believe that their word is their bond. But when they get away from you, you know, and I just went through an experience. I took my daughter in last May, and she was doing very well, and her children creeped right back into her life again. And 1 week they call her a fucking cunt, and the next week she's kissing their ass. So, I mean, I just stand there, and I'm totally amazed. And I said to her, if we're not helping you to help them, we're helping you to help you. And if you help them, then you have to leave the nest again. And you have to be strong and you have to follow through on it. And that's what I had to do. So what's going to become of her? She's going to go back to that, which supposedly she thought was an easier life by beating the system. She's going to end up being a grandmother taking care of all the grandbabies that they go out and they don't know who the father is of their next child. And so what does the welfare system do? They let you stay on for 2 years. And they train you to work. Do you might know how many times that one of them has been trained to work? 3 different times. And it's not going to change until you get people in there that want to fight for a better life. You know, it's not an easy life out there. And it really isn't. And people just say, fuck it. I don't want to know about it. You know, I just want to be in my petty little world and get along and die and rest in peace. You know, but you want to know something, Phil? I'm not letting these fucking kids bury me.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And you look back and I just say, this girl at 12 years old gave me a birthday party and bought me a singing sewing machine with her paper route. How can someone like that totally do a 190 degree turn? You know, because of what she was living with. And she gave up. So it was easy for her to say, okay, girls, I'll pay for you to have your fingernails and your toenails and your hair done, but I won't pay the rent. Do you think her daughters said to her, well, pay the rent, Ma, we need a roof over our head?
I don't understand it. This is kind of a little bit funny, but if you really think into it, it's not so funny.
No, it's not.
My granddaughter today, I guess there's a radio station out in the New York area. It's a country station, and my daughter was listening to it. Well, they have a commercial, and it's for a diet pill. Now, we're so concerned about what we're putting in the air, what we're putting in the water, the dyes in our food, but we allow diet pills on the market. And I guess it's got a little jingle to it that sings, clean your colon. Well, my 2-year-old granddaughter all afternoon was singing, clean your colon, clean your colon. And I mean, that's funny, that part. But the thing is at 2 years old, she's being manipulated into a catchy little jingle that's going to stay in her head and possibly... You know, we go down this road about self-image and teenage girls, you know, and there's so much pressure. But there's my 2-year-old granddaughter singing a jingle for a diet pill.
I would never let her hear that jingle again.
Yeah,
you know?
But the problem is that my granddaughter's already, like, I think she has sang it probably 50 times tonight. But it's just, you know, that's something so simple and so innocent, and when you first hear the story, you get a giggle out of it. You got a 2-year-old singing clean your colon, but the reality is that's being embedded in her head, and she's learning that society needs to be skinny, and you can take a pill to clean your colon to stay skinny. And I think people need to address those situations too, and they're not getting addressed. If you're so concerned about what's in the air, then you should be concerned that what's being sold over the counter.
Okay, let me tell you another street. Yeah.
Or anywhere else for that matter that anybody can get a hold of.
That's incorporation.
Yep.
That's they got the money to do it. Here's another scenario. Last year, I went home for Christmas, and my daughter's, the girl's father was dying with cancer, and he has died since November. He died in November. And rest in peace, Billy Joe. So anyways, he said to his two daughters, who are 22 and 25, I have to tell you, it wasn't your grandmother and grandfather who stopped seeing you, it was I that stopped them from seeing you. And so my daughter called, and my two granddaughters, who when they were, I hadn't seen them, God, I don't know how long, come to the house. And the youngest one, who was very cocky, goes, oh, my father said he stopped you, but why didn't you try to intervene? And I said, little girl, I did, but the courts wouldn't take me. Grandparents don't have any, you know, power. So anyways,
if someone puts them in, if someone writes a letter from the parent, or if the parents are saying something happens, or if they have a history of problem, that you're take over as the step-in parent, you can do that. But without anything in writing...
You can do it now.
Without anything in writing, it ain't going to happen.
I feel you could do it now, but you couldn't do it 10, 15 years ago, 17 years ago.
You could if it was written out. That's been around for a long time. I'll fight you on that one.
Well, I don't want to fight you, Bill. Phil, I don't want to fight you. So anyways, they said to me, well, we never got cards from you. And I said, you're right, you didn't. And they said, well, what kind of grandparents is that? I says, well, first of all, if there was money in it, you would have never got it. So I went upstairs, come down with two boxes. One had one granddaughter's name on it, and the other had the other granddaughter's name on it. And I said to him, open them up. And the last card in there was Christmas of, you know, 13. 14, I'm sorry. It's 15 years now, right? So they started going through them, and their eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know? And I says, oh, yeah, there's cash in there. Because the checks from all these years would have just vanished. So their eyes got bigger, and I put the covers back on them, and I took them back upstairs. And when I come down, they says, what did you just do? Those are ours. I says, no, they're not. I love you. I just don't like you. And when I see you start changing your lifestyle, then I'll give them to you. But until then, you don't deserve them. They were so pissed. They get up and they walked out of the house. But do you think I should have given it to them? No, because they didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. And they still don't deserve it. When I feel they're ready for it, then they'll get them. And if they don't get them, well, hey, shame on them. You know. You got a cold?
Yeah.
How's Bill doing?
He'll be here Thursday. You're doing good.
Oh, good. I've heard you guys quite a few times, you know. I call in and I listen to the show, you know. But I'm still down in Florida, and I don't think I'm going back to Worcester. Worcester is the one that's got the most snow through the whole country. Do you know that?
10 inches.
They,
110 inches.
Yep. My neighbor says he's got to go stand on the snowbank and across the street to see my bedroom windows. So that's how much snow we got in front of our house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the total for the year was like 108, something like that.
110, I think. Well, they just had 12 more inches today.
Oh, okay.
My sister says it's snowing again. So this has been an unbelievable winter for them. I mean, we had a wonderful, we never had a summer. It went from spring to fall. You know, we had a beautiful, beautiful, I thought it was a beautiful summer because it was like 59 in the morning when you got up, you know, never got over 72. We only had 3 days that I had to turn the air on up there. How's the baby, Phil? Not a baby anymore, huh?
Three. You're going to be three. The other one's 8 months.
Me. Oh, I didn't know. Would she have a girl or a boy?
Another girl.
Boy, you sound terrible.
Oh, no. I'm all right.
Really sound terrible.
I just went down the wrong pipe.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you let me in tonight. I was really glad to hear you guys' voices, you know. Good to talk to you, Stace.
Sometimes
when we're on a roll,
and someone's going to change the topic or something, say where we're at, because I screen everybody beforehand.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, really. I can see your point. You don't need anybody going off half-cocky.
Yeah. No, you know, and then we get some clowns that we get some clowns in. Today we had one. Said the payphone rang and he picked it up and got the show.
Mm-hmm. You're kidding me.
No, that was just before I unmuted you.
Pardon? You needed me? Oh, okay.
Just before I unmuted you.
Oh, yeah, I heard you hang. I heard you say he hung up or something like that.
Hmm?
You know, I heard you say that someone hung up on you.
Yeah.
But you've had some pretty good, interesting shows, I'll tell you that. Because I usually call in on a Tuesday. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Thursday's going to be a good one.
What is it going to be?
Can't tell you.
Hmm.
You have to tune in.
Okay. I will. I'll tune in.
All right.
You know.
But what I'm going to do, since we're at the end, I'm going to go off a half hour early tonight because I got something to do in the morning. But
okay.
I told Bill he had played one song for him. I'm going to play this other one for him, and then we'll talk to you guys Thursday. But this one is by Charlie Baker, and it's called Ride. I want to thank everybody for...
Wait,
Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Bill. We love you. Bye, Bill.
Bill, I wish you were here so I could say hello. Good night.
All right, good night.